Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. And very familiar section, Revelation 3 and verse 14. It's familiar because it's often used to beat on churches that are lazy or dead spiritually. It's often used that way. And sometimes we can read the Bible that way. We read the Bible looking at others and not read the Bible looking at ourselves. And that's a bad habit to get into. Verse 14 says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." I don't believe I have a full understanding of this verse, but I know that the Lord Jesus Christ isn't saying, "I wish you were either bad or good." I don't think he wishes anybody to be bad. So I think it's just relating more to our spiritual demeanor. I mean, have something. He says you don't have anything. I was watching some health channel today, and they were talking about keeping your body in balance, your cool and hot side, and that's not what we're talking about either. But the gist of the verse is have something. Have some spiritual temperature of some sort. And I feel like a pretty level person. But, you know, sometimes we come up with convenient other names for lukewarmness. And another convenient name for lukewarmness or apathy could be level-headed or cool and calm. Or sometimes we're just a little dead sometimes. Verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." It's very easy to get to the point where we think, well, I don't really need anything spiritually, but I hope people come to church tonight that will listen to the message and get something out of it. We can feel that way, or the preacher can be preaching and we can be thinking, boy, I hope so-and-so got that one, you know. And that's very easy to do. Or we put ourselves, when we do that, into verse 17, saying, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I know the truth, and I'm not like some people, and there's a lot of things I don't do," and we can start thinking that we're sitting pretty well, that we've got our lives together, we're financially okay, we're plugging along, we're all right. And we tend to say these things to ourselves. Now and then when we start to fall apart, when no one's watching, we start to feel convicted, we start to fall apart a little bit emotionally, we tell ourselves, "Oh, it's okay, we're all right. It's not that bad. You know, there's other people over there that are a whole lot worse. We're not like them. We're doing pretty good." And we kind of patch ourselves back up and we carry along. And he said, "Thou knowest not, thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." This is a fear that I have, is that I would not see my spiritual estate. I'm afraid of that. And that ought to be a fear that ought to grip you. A fear of not comprehending really what you are. He says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in a fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thy eyes with eye salve, thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now, verse 20 that hit me in my daily devotions a while back, a few days ago, and has clung with me. It's pounded very hard on me. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." We've heard a lot of very Christ-centered preaching lately. We've heard a lot of preaching about how we really need the Lord Jesus Christ. And a sermon Sunday morning and Sunday evening a while back, I think 2 weeks ago, about looking at Jesus. And beholding Jesus and seeing his hands and his feet and beholding him and looking at him and how we need him. It's our greatest need. We've had many messages about how that he's what we need and how that he's the solution to every problem. And the very, very good messages that we've had about those things. Very convicting. And many times I leave those messages and I pray, Lord, come into my life. Come closer. Lord, work. Lord, revive. You know, we want revival, and I find myself praying for revival. Lord, revive. Lord, work. Lord, meet with us. Lord, be in the service. And I had all those prayers at the tip of my tongue, and I read my daily devotion, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I've been here all along. What are you saying? Come in. I'm here. And so I began to look at this verse, and I thought, I began to try to break it down, and I'm simple-minded, and I try to break this down. I stand at the door and knock. How do we let him in? And I began to just meditate on how do I let him in? And I prayed, Lord, I'm so clueless, Lord. I just don't know. I just don't understand. I don't know what the problem is. I need to know. Open your word to me. Show me this verse. And it was just in a matter of minutes that I began to think about and meditate, and the Lord began to work on me. And I thought about those words, Behold, I stand at the door. I thought about how I pray for revival and I pray for the Lord's presence in my life. And I thought about that, and I began to think in real time and in my brain, how do I answer the door? And the Lord seemed to say all of a sudden, you've got to put down what you're doing and walk to the door. And I began to think about all the things that I'm doing that I can't answer the door. The last message the pastor preached about, he talked about showing the Lord common courtesy. We don't even show him common courtesy. We would never just leave someone knocking at the door. And I found that not only do I leave him knocking at the door, but I'm sitting at the table and I'm saying, Lord, come in. Oh, come in. I just want you to come in. And I don't do anything. I won't set down my magazine or won't set down whatever it is and go and open the door. Whatever it may be that's before me. To sacrifice, to put aside and answer the call. To hear and answer the door. And I thought about this and I began to meditate about it. I thought how that when I've been on eBay and I've ordered something and the doorbell rings, I run. You know, I'm there. I open the door. The UPS man is there. The FedEx guy is there. We get there. You know, we answer the door for so many things. When anything knocks, we answer the door. Somebody calls and says, I've got tickets. We answer the door. I mean, there's so many ways that we're so quick to let so many other things in. And yet, hardly have time to entertain a thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. To set aside the other things that we ponder and the other things that come in. Notice what he said in verse 20. He said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. Oh, if you're saved, I don't know how you could read that and not go, oh, I long for that. Oh, to meet with him. Oh, to spend time with him. I know it would fix everything in my life. Oh, to meet with him. But you can't do it. You can't do it unless you're going to set aside some other things. Set aside a few other things, some of the things that we enjoy. And that just seemed like a 1-2 punch, some of the messages as I've been pondering this thought. And pastor's been preaching, and he preached about laziness. And I don't feign myself to be lazy, but I tell you, one of the things that keeps me from study is sleep. I have a hard time studying when I'm sleepy, and I just give in to sleep very easily. It's not that I necessarily get up late or necessarily go to bed early, but sleep and many other things crowd out my time with the Lord. As I thought about this verse, I thought of Song of Solomon chapter 5, if you turn there. A little picture painted here, and I've heard our pastor speak from this portion before and preached a very good message about it. In Song of Solomon 5 and verse 2, the bride here speaking, she said, "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled." So tenderly he comes, so lovingly he comes, open to me. Do you hear that? Do you ever hear that during the day? Do you ever hear, you know, you should pray? Do you ever hear from the Lord, you haven't read your Bible today? Come and sit. You ever hear that in your mind from the Holy Spirit as you pick up a magazine and think, maybe I should read in the Word of God? As you log on to Facebook and you haven't been in His book, does it ever cross your mind? It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's Him tenderly calling, open to me. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. And what does she answer? I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? Such pathetic excuses we would not make for the UPS man that we make for Christ. I've put off my coat. How shall I? I got to get dressed again. I'm in my pajamas. It's so comfortable in bed. And that just strikes a dart through me, because it is. It's just, you worked a long day, you're tired, and you lay down, and the last thing, after I've shut myself off and resigned to bed, the last thing I want to do is get up. But it runs through my mind, you know, you didn't spend a lot in the Word of God today. Would you get back up? She says, I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them? And if you understand the living conditions of those days, or perhaps... maybe if you've gone camping someplace that's kind of dirty and you're wearing your sandals and you get full of sand, you don't want to come back into the tent full of sand. Kind of, that's the kind of idea. You've washed up to crawl into the blankets and you don't want to go back out and get dirty again. This is not the era of Pergo and paved sidewalks. And so she has her reasons. Just doesn't feel like it. Not that she doesn't want to. She just, at the present moment, doesn't feel like it. And you know what? In your flesh, you'll never feel like it. You never will. You'll never feel like it in your flesh. Your flesh will never feel like communion with God. It never will. But she loved him, and verse 4, my beloved put his hand in by the hole of the door. My bowels moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. You ever read your Bible and just get nothing? And nothing happens. Nothing. Absolutely nothing happens. There have been times that you felt such rapturous feelings. You sat in the house of God and felt such rapturous feelings. You know, one thing I learned that was hard to learn in the ministry is that getting a message from the Lord doesn't just happen on my schedule. It's not. I can't just do everything I want to do and finally find a few moments that I can, okay, Lord, pour it out on me. It doesn't work. Found that just does not work. We've been offensive to him. You say, why doesn't it work? Try that with your wife. Try that with your husband. That doesn't work. Leftovers, they want attention. And I believe that in this particular passage, there's a lot of things being taught, and it's very deep. But you know, the Lord, He doesn't hide necessarily, but sometimes He causes us to not sense Him. We can't feel Him and sense Him. And I believe many times that's because we do need to yearn for Him. We need to desire Him and long for Him. And so that brings me to the next thought. Why should we so urgently take up this matter of setting aside other things and seeking the Lord? Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found." There may be a time that He may not be found. If you're lost, if you don't know Him, there's coming a cutoff. There's coming a time in which He may not be found. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. We sing the song, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by." Do you desire Him like the bride and the Song of Solomon there? There are many other verses. James chapter 5, chapter 4, "Draw nigh unto the Lord, and He'll draw nigh unto you." Again, the ball is in our court. We pray and we pray, "Oh Lord, revive. Oh Lord, work. The conference is coming up. Lord, work. Lord, revive." He says, "Draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you." He says, "Seek me while I may be found." He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Let me in." This is not like the sinner's heart, the Lord begging to get inside and can't get inside. He's talking to Christians, saying, "Behold, I stand at the door." The problem with fellowship is you, not me. I'm here. I haven't left. I've been knocking. Let me in. Put down whatever it is. Turn to James chapter 5. Or 4, I'm sorry. James chapter 4. There's a few verses there that are go along with that verse that I'm quoting that I would like to read. He says in verse 8, "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let or allow your laughter to be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." You know, as I read that, I think of how we don't want to think about sin, and we don't want to think about our estate, and we don't want to consider it, and we make ourselves feel better, and we pile all kinds of enchantments, all kinds of entertainment around us in such a way that we never go to that part of our brain. We don't want to go there. We don't want to contemplate heavy and weighty things. And he says in verse 9, "Weep, be afflicted, allow yourselves." Verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord." In other words, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to think low of yourself in the sight of the Lord. Think low of yourself. We don't want to go there. We've heaped around us enchantments and pleasures, and I think of all the things that we occupy ourselves with. They're piled around us. They're in the way. We trip over them. So many things to bring us joy in our day. And the Word of God says, "Rejoice in the Lord." Find joy in Him. We talk about how we need Him. We talk about how we need revival. We even pray. He says, "I stand at the door and knock." What a picture that sunk into my brain. Getting back to our text, I had started to mention a moment ago why. Why is this such an urgent matter? There are several reasons given to us both in our text and in all of these other passages. We'll take them from Revelation. In verse number 19, he said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore. Be full of zeal about this issue." This is an issue. Be full of zeal about it. "Be zealous, therefore, and repent. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." He won't leave you in that lukewarm place. Then we mentioned the time factor. We read in Solomon and in Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. He'll not be found on your schedule. He'll not be found when you can get around to it, when you can fit him in after you've done everything else and you're completely bored and you just can't find anything else to do but perhaps maybe read your Bible. That's not the time that you're going to be greatly blessed. It's got to be scheduled. I read a book one time about true godliness, and I was offended when one of the first chapters, he said, really, godliness boils down to time management. I closed the book. Like, that guy don't know what he's talking about. And then I was bored, so I opened the book back up, and I read a little more, and he started making some pretty good points. He said, if you can't schedule time to meet with the Lord, then you'll not be godly. If you don't make a conscious effort to put it on the calendar, to put it in your life some way, to make it a habit, to make it a constant search of your life, it won't work. So we've seen that chastening is coming. We've seen that we need, that time is an issue. We need to seek him while he may be found. And then there's another exhortation given us in the book of Revelation there in verse 20 that we already read. There's some positives. In verse 20 he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. In fact, it's more than that. If we read in the book of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 37, he says, I will come forth and serve him. I'll come and set the table. I'll come and bring the meal, and I'll serve him. I'll feed him, is the sense we get from Luke chapter 12 when he's relaying some of these same things. Notice verse 21. So we saw fellowship is one of the reasons why. For real and true fellowship. True fellowship with God isn't just going to happen accidentally. It's going to happen on purpose. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame in it and am sat down with my Father in his throne. And then he gives the plea that he gives over and over again in the last couple of chapters. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Oh, can you hear these things? Can you hear him knocking? We tend to almost blame God for our lack of spiritual zeal and fire. Almost saying in our hearts, if the Holy Spirit would just work. I've been trying to change my prayers lately. Instead of Lord, fill me, or Lord, work, or Lord, revive me, I've been trying to pray, Lord, help me to love you more than all the other things that I pursue. Help me to be in love with you. Help me to enjoy you more than sports. Help me to enjoy you more than the other things I would entertain myself with at lunch period. Help me to want you more. Help me to lose interest. Help me to see your glory and become just simply disinterested with the world. I've been trying to pray that more than, Lord, revive me, or Lord, come in. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, you don't have to be special, don't have to be amazing. If any man, anyone that hears this, I'll come in and I'll sit down with you and I'll teach you. I'll meet with you. I'll be with you. He said in Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So where is he? What is the problem? As I read these things, I go to the Laodiceans and I study them. I study them because I want to tell other people how not to be them. I want to learn from them and grow from the Laodiceans. Can you hear him knocking? He wants to be in your life. Wants to work in your life. Wants to bless you. Not because it benefits him, because it benefits you. To bless you. To profit you. Do you hear him knocking? Turn the services back over to Brother Tim.